Welcome to another episode of the Nerdcast, and I'm sure the guys saw in my eyes the panic as I introduced us because I didn't look up what episode we're on.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
I feel like this time we shouldn't be having rookie mistakes, but I feel like this is a rookie mistake right now. I feel like it's what we're in the middle of.
Welcome to the Nerdcast, episode 120.
There we go.
How did we not remember 120? God!
It's been 2 weeks, but last time I even said 120 is a pretty big number. I think a significant deal. But Tyler, Adam, myself here, Aaron is out this week again, fighting probably the cosplay deadlines for the many, many events Project Nerd has for May. So a lot of exciting things to talk about there. Of course, today, upon release of this podcast, a huge movie hitting theaters. So even more to talk about there. And then there's that whole thing called Free Comic Book Day. Oh, but let's not forget this week had Star Wars Day, which really for us turned into a whole week of festivities and posts and everything. So, man, what a week.
I mean, yeah, Star Wars Day really isn't, you know, confined to just May 4th. Because there's too much good stuff going on. So I think a week of Star Wars things is perfectly acceptable. And especially leading into Captain America Civil War. So that's okay.
I was going to say, if you haven't noticed, if you don't check out projectnerd.com, project-nerd.com, definitely check it out because you'll notice, yeah, every day this week, starting on Sunday, had cosplay blog or cosplay galleries related to Star Wars. We shared the new Bloodline book link that's coming out. So I know that was a big release because it's going to kind of be the prequel to episode 7. And then, news, the Lightsaber Academy. I know Adam was pretty excited about that one. So the UK's new Lightsaber Academy for kids to learn to fight like a Jedi. And then, of course, many other awesome things happening with it. Star Wars Day. I mean, what else is there to really say about it? May the 4th be with you. And then the Sith, Return of the Sith or Revenge of the Sith for May 5th. So Revenge of the 5th.
I commented on that post about the Jedi Academy that, oh, I think I could have talked my parents into going to this. And I talked to my parents this week, and they're like, no, we wouldn't have sent you to the UK. So I apparently lied to everybody on Project Nerd's Facebook page.
Well, that's okay. Only like two people see our post. Thank you, Facebook. But if it wasn't in the UK, you would assume they'd let you go if you had it nearby.
Well, yeah, I probably could have. I mean, I grew up in Florida, so I probably could have swung it if it were in, you know, Tampa or Orlando. Like now I could feel like Disney's going to do one in Orlando, yep. And it's just a matter of time. So I probably could have talked them into that, but definitely not the UK. My mom didn't think that was funny. She's, no.
You're like, hey, mom. No. Even as an adult, she's still going to tell you no. It's like, look, now you can lie to me and say that you would have because you can't go back and change it anyways.
Right. No, then she put dad on the phone and dad talked to me about fiscal responsibility and about how it wouldn't be reasonable to go train to be a Jedi at 34. So, you know, whatever.
You're like, I've got things to do. I'll call y'all later. But yes, so Jedi Academy, as we're talking about, the post on our site as well as many others, basically an instructor, kind of a martial arts instructor, opened up a school for young children. So part of it is really still teaching, you know, self-defense, discipline, things like that, that you would get in martial arts school for younger kids, but also having fun with it, geeking out lightsaber battles and routines and everything like that. So turning it into a whole Star Wars Jedi Academy, and it's blown up huge. It's been extremely successful. And you mentioned Orlando, Disney, obviously, but you'd have to think there's going to be countless of copycats, you know, with the success of that one. Which is okay, and I'm sure he's okay with it too, because he can only serve the community he's in. So I'm excited to see where they pop up over here in the States, because, yeah, I'd love to go to him. I'm only 10. What are you talking about?
Well, and yeah, I definitely still need some. Apparently, if you ask my parents, I still need some discipline training and responsibility and that kind of stuff. So,
all right. So Jedi Academy sounds like a good time for us all. I think we're all on board.
But the other thing, too, is Bloodline. Tyler, big reader, are you picking up the new Star Wars book this week?
I actually already have a copy of it. I just haven't had a chance to sit down and read it. I have yet to read a single of the new expanded universe of Star Wars. I read quite a bit of the old, as it's now known, Star Wars Legends. I just don't know if I can get back into it. The problem with the original expanded universe, for every awesome, like, Thrawn trilogy or X-Wing series, there was just a lot of... There was a... what was the one? The Crystal whatever, or the Yuuzhan Vong, or any of that. There's so much bad expanded universe, so... If I'm ready, I don't know if my heart is ready. The whole Young Jedi Academy, what was the crystal star? Oh god, it was so bad with the twins, and it's just garbage. Yeah. So, but there's so much from it that I wish we could find. Like, they've taken little bits and pieces, like the New Order's kind of Imperial Remnant esque, and there's little bits and pieces that are showing up here and there. But if they could find an excuse to, you know, go find like Mara Jade or Grand Admiral Thrawn or something, I would get upset about it. So I don't know. It's kind of blasphemous to say, but there's another thing happening on May 4th that I'm probably more excited about than anything Star Wars related. And that is May 4th. What is it? They're releasing the second edition of Mage: The Awakening, which was originally an RPG from White Wolf Entertainment, like World of Darkness and stuff like that. They did the Vampire Masquerade, stuff like that. They had one called Mage: The Awakening, and the second edition of it comes out on the 4th. And I'm super pumped. It's a really good RPG system. In case anyone's... It's a really cool story and really fun to play.
It's called Bloodline, everybody.
Just saying. Star Wars Mage: The Awakening. Check it out if you're a tabletop game. They're super, it's super fun.
Well, Tyler, so... Disney's control and clampdown on everything expanded universe may end up working out in your favor then as what you may lose out on some of those, you know,
slave Leia bikinis.
We don't call that anymore. We call her the Jabba killer bikini, not the slave Leia bikini. We focus on the positive now, Iggy. Come on.
My bad.
But you might lose out on some of the fringe like excellence that came with the old, I guess, Legends now is what they're calling it. But you're going to probably raise the bar for the minimum acceptable work that comes out in the
expansion. Yeah, I'd like to think the minimum level is going to raise. And some of the authors that they've hired to write some of it are people that I've read their stuff and respect. Kevin Hearn's written a couple. Wrote one. Some other people people I'm on board with. But at the rate at which they're putting them out, I don't know. I read a lot of bad fiction, and so, like, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I read A New Dawn. That was the one we picked up. New Dawn?
That's the one that kind of has some characters from Rebels, right?
Right. It's supposed to kind of bridge Revenge of the Sith and... A New Hope. So it's that period in between then. So I read it and I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was very good. And the nice thing for me was, since there is so much expanded universe, it was a piece that didn't require any having already read any other of the books. You could pick that one up and read that one straight away and be good to go.
But who were like the main, was Kanan one of the main characters in that one?
Yeah.
Like the guy from Rebels was, I could have sworn that was the Rebels tie-in one, but I wasn't sure. So Kanan Jarrus is like one of the guys in that.
Yeah, it's pre-Rebels because it's his basically his origin story from Order 66 to saving Cinda and its sister planet. I can't remember its name off the top of my head.
But so did any of the other Rebels characters show up, like Hera or anything like that?
Hera, yeah. So, I mean, it's those two. Those are the two main ones. And then you have, you know, Count Vidian, who I don't think makes it into Rebels at all because he has an unfortunate end in the book.
But you'd recommend it for sure?
I definitely would recommend it. And so it gives me hope in terms of the new books that they have coming out. I'm definitely interested in Bloodlines. I haven't picked it up yet, though.
Does it give you some new hope, Adam?
I didn't want to do that. I felt like
it's not as fun when Aaron's not here because she's the one that would like have just over exaggerated her annoyance with it and then would have pulled Tyler in and it would have just made this whole mess of an argument. But the other thing that's not as fun is I'm not excited for this, but I was excited to, you know, Tyler brought up some gaming there. Last Friday, Lionhead Studios officially closed their doors, the makers of the Fable series, which is Aaron's go-to video game over the years, I guess. So can't rub that in her face at all either. So Aaron, if you ever listen, which I doubt you do.
No, I think we had talked about that before though. We knew that was coming.
They had pulled the game. They had pulled making the new game, but
right.
They actually
suspended the studio at that point in time, and now they finally closed it. Yeah. Or officially closed it, I guess.
Yeah, so I don't know. Somebody else will possibly pick up the title. I mean, it sold enough games. The problem was, as Tyler's mentioned before, and Aaron has mentioned many a times before, is they would take good features out of the new game to try to replace them with other features that were supposed to be good, and they just never lived up to the hype. And then on top of that, inconsistent release dates. I don't know how many times certain Fable games were supposed to come out. I mean, I think even, too, at times while you were managing gaming departments for Best Buy, Adam, I too, for a long time, ran those, and it felt like the release schedule would change for them often. So just some inconsistency. And if a good studio went behind it and brought back a lot of the features people liked and kept it consistent, I think it's a franchise that could carry.
I think that was a good one. It was not as, you know, in-depth as like a Final Fantasy. So I think it made it a little more accessible to a lot of folks, but still had a lot of really good elements to it. I enjoyed them. I mean, I bought a 360 because I got a really good price on it. So I picked one up, and those were, you know, some of the only games I actually owned for my 360 were the Fable games. And I even bought the hard drive so I could play the original Fable when they released it on the 360 market.
I don't know. We'll have to just bug her offline about it.
Yeah. I don't know. She's not really a gamer, though, so.
I mean, by her definition, that is very true, Tyler. So, anyways, yeah, so new video game coming out, a classic one, as Tyler brought up. But the big news, we'll save that to last. We'll get there. The big news for what's coming out Friday, because we'll spend a lot of time on it.
We can save that. But there are a lot of other video games. I've got to get through some stuff. I need to finish some Dark Souls. I kind of want to go back and do some Witcher. And I'm trying to decide if I want to go back and play the first three, because we're this close to Uncharted 4. And I am pumped.
Yeah, Uncharted 4 should be exciting. Speaking of Dark Souls, you have all these tally marks on your wall, Tyler. Have you been keeping track of how many times you've died?
I stopped that a long time ago. I stopped that like on night one after like 10 on just the first boss. So
my favorite's the videos that come out. People just, hey, I'm not going to show you gameplay of this. I'm just going to capture videos of me dying frequently and then release that on YouTube. Good amount of views, though. There's some good money in it, possibly.
Oh, dude. So I've been streaming the past couple of weeks, and I've been streaming Dark Souls 3 just because I figured people might want to watch me die a bunch.
Because you hate yourself.
Right, I do. And it's okay. It's my penance. I'm okay with that. And in the comments, like, the only time I ever write, like, I've got the mic set up so I can just talk to people when they're, you know, answer whatever they're asking or laugh at the jokes that they're telling about me dying. The only thing I write in the comments is my death, what number it is, and how I died. And this last week, I was cruising right along, and I died doing something stupid. Tyler, if you made it to the guys that carry the big, like, cooking pots, and they, like, slam them down.
Yeah, those guys are not, like, they're...
And then there was those three across that little bridge.
Yeah.
And if they see you, but you don't get really close to them, they don't just slam the pot down, but they throw it at you from really far away.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I died to those guys once, and I was like, oh, okay, that kind of sucked. I didn't know they threw the pots, and they did, and then I died. And then so I was going back to get my souls, and you got to go across that other little bridge. There's two guys, like, right there at the very beginning, and I was killed one of them and then turned right as the other one hit me and reflexively rolled backwards right off the edge of the cliff. I set my controller down, told the stream I was done, and walked away.
Like, those guys.
Nope.
But yeah, those deaths are the worst. When you've finally figured out a section and then you just die at a dead stumps part of it. My least favorite, have you messed with the guys, the big, tall, like robed guys with like the big branding irons?
Oh, do they carry the book?
I think so. They have like the big, and then they'll knock you on the ground and then they'll like stab you with the branding iron. Oh, I hate those guys.
I got hit in the head with a book by an enemy because that was fun. So I like rolled and dodged a giant sweep attack that he did and ended up standing up right in front of him, took his book and smacked me in the head. And then I fell down and was like, okay, that's stupid. And somebody watching was like, I never saw someone got hit with a book before. Me either. It's my first time too.
So besides new video games, what I was trying to get to, I think, is the
No Man's Sky is pretty close.
The big thing this week, which is actually announced late last week, Joe's Kansas City now doing mail order barbecue. So for those of you not in Kansas City,
that's exciting.
You can get your Joe's fix. This doesn't benefit Tyler any because he's already getting his Joe's fix frequently.
I had Joe's today. It was fantastic. See,
exactly. So, but for the rest of us that have moved away from the area, I don't know. You know, Q39 still, like I said, I'll lean towards them. But Joe's is delicious, and if they're willing to send it to me, I mean, you know.
Al, I just don't understand your obsession with Q99. Like, it's really good meat, but it's way too classy for a barbecue restaurant.
All I'm concerned about is the taste of the food. I don't care. Be classy. And you have to remember, it's new. It hasn't had time to build up the grease on the walls.
I don't think it's like it. No, but its whole milieu is like kind of like upscale barbecue dining, which
it's closer. It's closer to like plaza area, isn't that? Like, so
it's closer to downtown. It's not really up by the plaza.
Okay.
At 39th Street is not. I mean, go look at some of the other establishments that are a little farther west.
No, the first time I drove there, I was like, I don't know. Maybe we won't go to this place. So I was just trying to help its argument there. But either way, like I said, of all the things happening over the past week, I think the biggest announcement on the podcast today is Joe's Kansas City launching their mail order barbecue, which is interesting. I haven't read it in detail. I need to, and I need to see what the pricing is because I'm assuming it's overnighted.
It's super expensive.
Yeah. It's overnighted. And like, how do you know, like, I usually want that kind of barbecue pretty fresh too, you know, but
what
I don't
you need
know.
To get is I got a great place out of Kansas City that'll mail you Italian steak, Siggy. Super good.
Go and send me that info.
Yeah. I'll get you that. That's what you want. Those are what my aunt sends my mom and dad for Christmas every year. That's my favorite part about going home for Christmas is mom and she'll cook up the steaks and, oh man, that's legit.
My mom sends me a lot of chocolates, which I don't usually complain about that, but I usually get a huge chocolate order, but it keeps getting bigger and bigger each year, which is disastrous. It's disastrous. And we've gotten to the point where I've actually have to take some of it and give it away. So maybe if I can get that link, I can convince her to be like, hey, instead of 900 pounds of chocolate this winter, how about 400 pounds of chocolate, 500 pounds of Italian steak? That's
So everything comes like frozen and sealed. So you have a minimum of like 24 hours of thaw time once it arrives, sometimes 48 hours.
Nope. The Joe shows up. It's got to go in the mouth. Like,
no,
right?
That's not how this works. You have minimum 24 hours of thaw time. If you get like the pork shoulder, you might be looking at 48 hours. And they're very clear about thawing it out and then recommending a sous vide warm bath to reheat it, not trying to fucking microwave it or put it on the grill or something. Like, use it as sous vide.
Wait, you're not going to take like high quality barbecue and just throw that sucker in the nuke box?
You're going to buy a sous vide recirculator and put it in a warm bath, vacuum sealed, and reheat it. But pricing wise,
this is already expensive and it's already time consuming, Tyler. I'm not liking where you're taking this.
Okay, well, I mean, not everyone lives.
Mail you
not everyone lives barbecue, down the right? street from Joe's. Kansas City.
I know.
I, on the other hand, live at 47th and Row and can go there whenever I want. It's okay. But you, on the other hand, have to figure it out. 2 pounds of sausage shipped, $50. The Z-Man kit, which is obviously what you need, is enough for 8 sandwiches, and it's $85. But
that's only $10
a sandwich. 8 Z-Mans for $85, not bad. The Slaughterhouse 5 package, 2 pounds pulled pork, 1 pound brisket, 1 pound sausage, 1 pound smoky joe, 1 pound turkey, and 3 bottles of barbecue sauce for $110.
You said this is expensive. You remember, barbecue's expensive already, so this isn't that bad.
And then the contest in a box, 2 full slab pork ribs, 1 pork shoulder, 1 pound chopped burn-ins, 1 pound sliced brisket, 1 whole chicken, 2 bottles of sauce for $200.
That's shipped?
I believe so.
If that's shipped, I'm like, as soon as we get done with this podcast, I'm dropping $200 right now, dude.
And you can add ribs to any package or kit for an extra $35.
Dude, that's worth it for the burn-ins alone. Oh my gosh.
Burn-ins and ribs too? Like $35 for ribs shipped? Like,
well, you can't just buy the ribs by themselves. You have to have already bought something else, and then $35 will add
ribs. I'm already spending $200, so I'll just add the ribs on, dude.
Well, the $200 comes with 2 slabs of ribs.
That's not enough.
Okay. You guys will be here soon enough. I'll take you to go to Joe's Kansas City.
That's what we're doing right before.
You cannot go to Q39.
I will go to Joe's with you. Just give me some barbecue.
I need to know if they have a grilled mushroom option.
They do. They have a portobello Z-Man.
Excellent. Okay.
But you'd have to get it without the provolone, too.
That's okay. That's okay.
Or provolone on the side so you can add it to your...
But yeah, they do have a portobello Z-Man.
Okay, good, good. Then I can take my vegan wife to a barbecue joint.
Honestly,
I'm not sure if Joe's barbecue sauce is vegan, but I'm sure you can get it without the sauce. I don't know about the bun either, but
she can bring her own buns.
Yeah, nope, not gonna.
No.
I'm not going to.
I don't know. Like, I bet you it's.
Yes. We'll figure out the barbecue for sure.
But I'm trying to think if you guys are here Thursday. Thursday's usually burn-in day because not every day's burn-in day at Joe's.
So. I'm going to be there Thursday. We're going to set up Thursday afternoon for Planet Comic Con. Just so happens, I'm going to need dinner, Tyler.
Okay. We're going to have to figure something out.
I don't know. Burn-ins, definitely. Adam, now you have to be there Thursday. Now it's changed from, hey, I might be there Thursday to now you have to be there Thursday.
I mean, we can go every day. We can go on Friday and Saturday too.
Right. If I don't
on Sunday, they're closed on Sunday.
I don't end up with a job this summer, it's going to be because I went to Kansas City for a barbecue.
Hey.
And I'm strangely okay with that.
Risk versus reward here, man. Risk versus reward. I feel like you got to make sacrifices sometimes. But honestly, other big things this week, one I wanted to get to was Free Comic Book Day, where the Project Nerd and Project Nerd Publishing team will be set up at Hall of Justice Comics in Parker, Colorado. So just south of Denver in the nice suburb of Parker. This is their first year to do it, actually. They've put out the free comics. So this is the first year to bring out cosplayers, independent publishers, local artists, stuff like that. And they're bringing out some great talent, people we know and love, including Jason Mintz, who does some fantastic art, which we'll be picking up some ourselves because we've already told him what we wanted. Christy Kay will be there cosplaying L3PO, as well as some other independent creators, including the likes of Project Nerd Publishing and... Well, Erin Lake could brag about being there, but since she's not on here, she doesn't get to brag about it. So, but it's going to be a fun event. I'm pretty excited. We've done Free Comic Book Day before. We go out to Elite out there in Kansas City previously. I'm really excited because this is our first time at publishing, and we're going to set up our own comics. No, we're not giving them away for free, unfortunately, but this is where you get your free comics from the big publishers, and you go support the indie guys by picking up those titles. Not just us, but the other great talent around us. But also, yeah, Kansas City, I'd say we highly recommend Elite Comics. Plenty of great stores in other areas. I'm sure if you pinged us on our page, the likes of our teams out of Chicago, Indianapolis, Dallas, everywhere they're at would tell you what shops to hit up. So definitely check it out, Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, I am, since we're not recording on Friday, I'll break the illusion for everybody. That I am working on a post with our team to get folks having us, our team telling us where they're going to be, where, what their favorite comic shop is in their area and why they like it and what comics they're looking forward to. So if you're listening to us right now, go over to project-nerd.com. One of the most recent posts will be our team's excitement about Free Comic Book Day. So check it out, see what's on there and, you know, see where our team recommends you go in your area.
So, and the thing is too, the like common misconception of Free Comic Book Day is that you get just junk titles, but I've picked up some awesome titles there. And especially with Civil War going on, I can guarantee you, I haven't looked at the full list. Well, I think Matt's going to put that up on the site, but we're going to have, you know, things related to that. But Marvel will have things related to that. DC is definitely going to probably have things promoting Harley Quinn, other things. You usually get good titles from good team, good writers. And the main reason is they're trying to encourage you to now start checking out the series. So, I mean, they're not going to sell you something crap for free. They're going to sell you something for free that's going to get you to pay them money. So you can usually pick up a lot of good series, and this is a great way to introduce yourself to something you might have been interested in, but you just never picked up before. Go grab them. And they have titles that are, I mean, as much as there's great titles there for children, that, you know, Zenoscope participates, other, you know, other titles, other comic publishers, Image, Aspen Comics, things like that, that aren't always necessarily geared more towards children are always participants as well. So you can get a good variety of things. I usually come back with a good stack of comics every year.
So you mentioned Civil War. Have we gone long enough without talking about movies? So we can talk about movies now?
All right. So Tyler, there's
one other thing we have to talk about before.
Okay. Okay.
War.
Go ahead.
But it's about movies, right?
It is. And it's,
I thought it might be.
Because we didn't record last week. Last week in everyone's favorite game, Fantasy Movie League, order was restored to the universe, and I just kicked the ever living shit out of everyone. And then this week I won again, so now I'm back in first place of the league. That's really all I had to say.
I didn't
set two consecutive week wins, and I'm now back in first.
I didn't set it.
Okay.
No, yeah. Tyler, that not this past week, but the week before, had, what, four or five of the, like, top earner movie, or, gosh, whatever they call it, best performer movie, and so he got that huge bonus.
I had six of them.
Six.
Compadres. I knew it was going to happen because that's
sorry to tell you short, buddy.
So that was an extra $12 million on my total. And I mean, to be fair, I still beat second place by, no, I beat second place by like $13 million.
Yeah, it was 13. So that 12,
almost all of it was my bonus.
Really, really helped out. And that, I mean, the big thing was, is that,
oh, but Anne had two of it too. So right. I would have beat her by like five, if
right,
would have been by $5 million if we didn't get that bonus,
right? And then this week you ended up winning by four, which puts you into first by $3 million. So last week you reeled her in, and this week you overtook. So it's exciting. The race for first.
You definitely second. You got four of the bonus this week. You just you banked real hard on Key and Peele, and that did not pan out.
It was not the earner I was hoping it was going to be. That's for sure. But I did get Batman and Superman, Batman versus Superman, as the top performer. So I kept. The problem is I keep coming in third, and I'm never going to overtake first or second or get any closer if I keep coming in third. And I keep coming in third.
My problem is I keep coming in fifth, and I'm not going to overtake first or second. We're especially
you came in fourth this week.
I didn't even set a schedule. That's impressive.
Neither did nobody else has set a schedule under you in several weeks.
Yeah, Jared and Aaron.
I guess I passed Jared a few weeks ago. That's right. Because he wasn't setting up before he even left China, so he's not allowed to use that excuse. But he's back now too. So where's that? Where's that? Where's this setup exactly?
Well, I think third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. The rest of our, the rest of the standings are pretty well locked into place by now. It's really a race between Tyler and Ann at this point in time.
What's the overall difference? And how many weeks do we even have left?
We have this week. We have 3 weeks left total.
I ask Adam so that way he can share with the audience. Obviously, it's one of those questions so that everybody else can find out. How many weeks was that again? Just in case they didn't hear you.
Three.
Okay.
And I don't understand what's going on.
What's the number difference? Adam was making fun because I was asking questions that I probably
should. I was laughing, right? Iggy should know the answer.
To oh, him. I see.
They're left because he's part of our league, and he should.
Oh,
be.
Oh, I see.
It's
good.
I was justifying the fact that it's these people that are listening aren't part of our league.
No, it's fine. There are 3 weeks left, which is basically going to be Civil War Week One, Civil War Week Two, Civil War Week Three. Really, the only
separator. So bank on Civil War.
Well, this week, the only thing that's going to separate this week is going to decide this week is what do you pick in addition to Friday Civil War? Because if you don't pick Friday Civil War, you will lose, guaranteed.
If I pick Friday Civil War, I'm going to lose anyway. So
It's just a matter of what do you use to fill up the rest of your screens. But anyway, so 3 weeks left. I have $701 million, Anne has $698 million, and Adam has $671 million.
Yeah,
so I'm
pretty tight race there.
I'm like $2.25 million ahead of Anne, and Anne is like 19.
Like no, she's
19.75 million ahead of Adam.
Yeah,
and then you're like 100 and some million behind Adam.
And we're pulling for you. We're cheering for you. Basically, what I was doing is I wasn't campaigning in Indiana, so that way Anne could beat you. That's what I was doing. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay, so you not doing well doesn't actually help Anne any. There's not like a finite number of dollars. Like any dollars you don't win don't automatically go to one of the.
I was making an ill-placed political joke.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, I get it. So, I'm still gonna win.
So
and make America and make
that's gonna win.
Fantasy Movie League great again.
Dude, I can close this league out if you think if you pull away and there's 1 week left. I don't know what might happen. They're just the site might go down. Our league might just disappear.
Movie League great again after last season.
Don't know what's gonna happen. So okay, so he got his Fantasy Movie League thing out. So Adam, we'll finally get there. We're going to talk about it. It's the big release this weekend. We spend so much time on Batman versus Superman, but we're looking now at Marvel's Captain America Civil War, which I think as we talked about a couple weeks ago on episode 119, Tyler brought up a good point. They're like, if you want to watch this early, they've pretty much offered you some kind of screening, and they have, and people are seeing it left and right. We have the review up on our site. People have nothing but good things, nothing but amazing things to really say about this movie. A lot, and not just one or two, but a number of the reviews, just because I'm not reading the reviews in details, but a number of the titles I'm seeing mention about how this is, or the subtitles mention how this is like Marvel's best work so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. So you kind of hit the nail on the head to me. The thing I find the most fascinating about all of this is that, you know, Batman vs. Superman, we literally talked about it for 2 years. Like when they first mentioned it, and then 2 years ago at San Diego when the animated concept trailer came out where, you know, Superman's flying and Batman and there's rain and nobody's actually really real in that shot. And this is, hey, this is what we can make things look like in animation world. Like, oh, cool. Thanks. I want to see that movie. We talked about it for 2 years about how it was crazy, and Marvel just like in that time pumped out a bunch of good movies and some of probably their, I don't want to say bad work from them, but not up to the same standards as everything else. And all the while this movie has been on the horizon because of that same San Diego Comic-Con or Comic-Con International 2 years ago, they released, you know, the next 28 movies for the next 54 years or whatever it is. They released their schedule for Infinity into the future. And this movie's just been there. And people have been talking about, like, hey, that's going to be exciting. I wonder what that's going to be like. And, like, in all the lead up, no one's really been talking about it. And then they release it. And, like you said, they let anybody watch it. There's people on my newsfeed who have already seen the movie twice. I'm like, this is stupid. I have to wait. And it's getting nothing but amazing reviews. And that's it. It's kind of crazy to me that it's not getting talked about more. It seems like it is a bunch of places, but not talked about more.
Well, you could have, I mean, a ton of various factors leading into that. One, not just me, but I think a lot of people think last year might've been one of the weaker years we've seen from Marvel Cinematic Universe. Age of Ultron did not impress the way the first Avengers did. And Ant-Man, which a lot of people enjoyed, was very different and a lot more lighthearted than what's normally happening in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So they're coming off that. Additionally, you could even go the complete opposite end with the argument and say, when has Marvel wholeheartedly let us down? Because even with Age of Ultron not being as good as the other stuff, it's not a terrible movie, you know? So you could go that direction with it. So everybody's just kind of like...
Still not Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, when it gets here, it's going to be good. So why are we spending all this time on it? The other thing, too, is it's not even just movies. It's in our culture. It's in everything. It's in some of the stuff we talked about before the podcast. We focus on the negative. That's what we do, especially in this day and age with the internet. And one, especially in something like this, because, I mean, it's not a negative that's, like, impacting the world in a bad way. So it's the kind of negative that you can really make fun of a lot. So it's more fun to just sit there and pick on Batman versus Superman, besides picking on Marvel Cinematic Universe, which, or specifically this movie, which really, they haven't really given us much to pick on.
Yeah, I feel like if you complain about it, you're being nitpicky. And, like, people are just going to be like, oh, you're just kind of a dick.
But even, like, yeah, diehard Spider-Man fans. Oh, well, the costume a little bit, like, okay, that looks kind of cool. And they got over it pretty quickly. Or even me, the first trailer came out. Well, I'm not sold on that first trailer, but I'll give it till a second trailer. As opposed for the DC movies. Oh, I'm not sold on that trailer. This is going to suck. So that's what it's like. So, but it's, I mean, they're really not giving us a lot to complain about. I think the final why Batman versus Superman commanded more attention is this is, I know we had Man of Steel, but this is really the first one that's setting their cinematic universe stage, and has brought characters like Wonder Woman, or Batman, who above all is one of if not the most popular character in all of comics, brought him back with a name actor that people were polarized on, I guess the way to put it, you know, so you had a lot more there as opposed to by now, we just hit the eight year anniversary of Marvel doing this cinematic universe, and pretty much every year has had two movies. So we get used to it. It's a good thing to get used to, but it's also something that's like, yeah, I got one early in the summer and I got one late in the summer to go see. I'm already planning on it. Don't really need to talk too much about it. We'll talk about it afterwards.
Tyler, do you have numbers for us? Do you know because you mentioned in Fantasy Movie League that Friday is really the only day to put in your movie cinema this week because you get Thursday and Friday, so all the pre-sales, and I remember reading something Friday, about how it's pre-sold more than any other movie.
Pre-sales, right? Yeah, pre-sales have outdone any previous Marvel Cinematic movie.
Yeah. I don't know what pre-sale numbers are. Let me see if they've updated them yet. Just alone, it made, like, did you see how much movie it made overseas? Because it's already opened in, like, half its markets. It made, like, $200 million last weekend, so... pre-sales, let's see here.
So I thought I had read that it was the most, but it's the most for any Marvel movie. Cause I mean, I guess Star Wars would have the pre-sale total, right?
I don't know. Star Wars was already was way up there. So Civil War sales.
So speaking of Fantasy Movie League, I think it's a safe bet to also add Batman versus Superman onto your screen listing, because for people like us who haven't picked up our tickets yet, when we go to the theater and we get rejected from being able to see these sold out shows of Captain America.
You're not going to go see Batman versus Superman if you want Captain America.
Somebody who hasn't seen it might. There's going to be a lot of people turned away from because theaters are going to be sold out.
They're still going to see it. You're going to show the thing 12 goddamn times a day.
Something else at that time, and then you go see it 2-3 hours later, because there's no point in driving back home.
But they're not going to pick Batman versus Superman. You don't put another superhero movie in your lineup, Keanu, when the superhero movie's the key piece.
So go see Jungle Book. Jungle Book's good.
Jungle Book, but you can't put that on your screen if you pick Friday.
You only have
16 million.
You can put Saturday and Sunday on there because they're cheap enough. You could put both of them.
Yeah,
on the rest of your screens, but it's $700 and some million just to put.
It makes sense to pick Friday, but it makes sense Friday. I really think I would not be surprised because one, it's May. In May, as much as we're like, oh, look at what Daredevil did in February. Look at what this has done in this. May always brings out those big numbers.
Yeah.
People are ready for May. The weather's changing. People are excited. They're going out. This has historically been the time when these blockbusters come out. We've had so many blockbusters every year. They're extending it later into the season and earlier. But historically, May has just been on time. So it's always been a big number month. And I really see this Friday. The pre-sales have already set marks, but I really see Friday setting a tone for a weekend that we could be talking about quite extensively next week in terms of records and things like that. I mean, Star Wars, people were begging for a new Star Wars, so it's going to be really hard to top that. But overall, I could, you know, see some good numbers that are going to make an impact, make a conversation.
I'm just curious if the burnout ever happens or if the box office fallout ever really happens. Because starting next year, we're going to start getting three Marvel movies a year. because next year we'll get
it's getting to be a lot. Because I mean, and technically you're getting more than three, because you even look at this year, we're getting three if you count X-Men, or four if you count Deadpool.
Yeah, but if you're talking just like Marvel Cinematic Universe, we're going to get three a year starting next year. But yeah, next year we'll get Guardians, Spider-Man, and Thor, and then the year after that we'll get Black Panther, Infinity. Black Panther, Infinity War 1, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then the year after that we'll get Captain Marvel, Infinity War 2, and then another one they haven't even titled yet.
Can we just move up the Black Panther movie? I mean, after seeing him just in the trailer of Captain America,
Chadwick's doing work.
Yeah, can we just say let's do three this year and get Doctor Strange and Black Panther in the fall? You can release them back to back weeks. I don't care. We'll go pay to see them both. Like, that's fine with us.
Double feature. Do them double feature. Give me a dinner in between. Sign me up right now.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't even started filming. We have like 2 years still. Like 2 years till Black Panther comes out, so.
I think they can make a movie this summer.
I'm excited about Guardians 2. They're bringing Mantis in this time.
Oh, well, yeah.
Favorite characters from the comic book, so.
No, I mean, who wouldn't be excited for Guardians 2? But at the same time, I mean, he just like chases down a motorcycle and takes it out and just lets bullets ricochet off of him. I mean, it's going to be a badass.
Right, you sold me on it.
Okay.
So. Hold on.
I don't have, that's the whole point. I just went in that whole conversation. I no longer have to sell
it. You painted a picture there.
We no longer have to
sell your words.
Release the Marvel one. You're there. And at the same time, we joke about it, but we're all going to see Suicide Squad in theaters. Don't pretend like you're not.
I'll go see it. I don't have high hopes for it.
But that's what I said.
After all the marketing they did to try and make it look like it's kind of like Guardians, but not really. And then after all that marketing, they then went back and reshot it to quote unquote, make it more funny. Concerns me, which means I have a feeling it was already pretty dark and gritty trademark Zack Snyder. So like that special Zack Snyder brand of dark and gritty. So
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. You do what you know, right? Like Michael Bay. Nobody faults Michael Bay for making the same exact movie over and over again with just different characters.
Everybody faults Michael Bay for making the same exact movie over and over again.
Exactly. They still pay the money to go see it, though. Bad Boys 3, I'm going to be in theaters to see that. I may not go see a Transformers after the second one because
the exception of a couple of those Transformers, at least Michael Bay movies, you know what you're getting. And, like, for the most part, they're usually, like, bearable and enjoyable. Like, for every Transformers 2 or Pearl Harbor, you know, there's an Armageddon or there's a Bad Boys 2. Like that's like mindless, ridiculous entertainment. Zack Snyder's found a way to make fucking superheroes fighting each other just uninteresting and boring.
And murdery.
How do you put Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman.
After she's like not
Alfred. And then a little glimpse of, and like the Flash in a fucking movie and make it so boring. That's a special kind of anti-talent right there.
It's the same guy who made, like, I mean, look what he did. Fantastic with Watchmen. He did an amazing job on that adaptation.
Yeah. I mean, it was good, but Watchmen's like supposed to be kind of boring and it was, but like in a good way, like Batman fighting Superman and then together fighting Doomsday is not supposed to be boring, but goddamn, he found a way to do it.
I was going to argue you, but then my first thought was when we got up my opening night Watchmen, that Thursday night midnight screening. And I got up so excited after seeing this, cause it was so amazing and people were just rumbling and even friends were asking, they really marketed it. I thought there was going to be a lot more action. I'm like, do you guys even know the story of this? So I was going to argue.
It was a fantastic adaptation, but there's not action in Watchmen. Watchmen is a slow burn.
That's what I'm saying. So I'll give you that. But
the most action in that movie is, you know, Silk Spectre and Owlman like going at it in the owl ship. Like that's like the most action sequence in the movie.
Depending on how you define action. Yes. Very, very true.
So, the only real action scenes are all like flashbacks. They're like the time this old guy fought this guy or the time the comedian like dropped grenades on a bunch of like protesters. Like there's very little action present day.
Breakout, man.
That's the one scene. And that's not even like action so much as Jackie Earle Haley just getting his sadistic on.
No, he's doing, but when Silk Spectre and Owlman.
Okay, that's true. She does some kung fu shit.
They're just walking.
Are we really going with Owlman?
Did I say Owlman? Yeah, Night Owl, sorry. Owlman. Batman. Sorry, DC has Owlman in one of the alternate universes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I always think of Owlman like Batman, yeah.
Yeah, I disrespected Alan Moore there. I apologize. Now he's forever going to disown Project Nerd. Do not let my name anywhere near that site. They misinterpreted my work. So, anyways, Night Owl. Anyways, yeah, there's just like, it's a good, and they do slow it down for the action, but they just walk through that
cool hallway scenes. Yeah, that one hallway, they just wreck house.
Can we ever get enough hallway scenes, by the way? Like, can we just every superhero movie put in a hallway scene? Like that every Michael Bay movie.
That season one Daredevil.
Right?
In the, oh, man.
Every Michael Bay movie has some kind of epic chase sequence.
The season two Daredevil hallway / stairwell scene was my jam.
I still haven't watched season two.
There's a sequence where he takes on this biker gang up and down a hallway and down a stairwell. It's fucking tense.
Dude, you gave me a look, but have you watched BoJack Horseman?
I love BoJack Horseman.
Dude, Adam.
I mean, I love it at the same time that I kind of want to, like, go and kill myself after some of the episodes.
Oh, right? Like, you're laughing hysterically for 25 minutes, and then the last 5 minutes, you're like, oh, holy shit.
Have you finished all of it, like, on both seasons?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Okay, because can we talk about this episode where he goes back to visit?
No, dude. The way that ends was like, what the hell? Dude, that was just like, fuck. That's just that. Like, that was just depressing. The whole
shit. It's some dark shit.
It is hilariously so funny, though. While at the same time, the most depressing thing you will ever watch.
Oh, it's super depressing.
I don't know how, for a show, though, but it pulls every emotion out. It doesn't pull any punches, and it's fantastic. It is well-written. Will Arnett does an amazing job, but the characters are just perfect. Like, they're just perfect. Mr. Peanut Butter might be my favorite thing ever in the universe of ever. So, yeah, Mr. Peanut Butter. You just need to watch it, Adam. It's phenomenal. It is, but seriously, you will spend, you'll start it, and like the first three episodes, you're like, this is hilarious. And then you get in the fourth and fifth episode, and you're like, wait a second, I haven't realized this is actually really like gut-wrenching. And like,
oh, it's rough. The second season especially, like, it starts to. Let me just run down for you. This will help you out, Adam. Will Arnett, Amy Sedaris, Alison Brie, Paul F. Tompkins, Aaron Paul, Patton Oswalt, Kristen Schaal, Stanley Tucci, Olivia Wilde, J.K. Simmons, Aisha Tyler, Maria Bamford, Keith Olbermann, Cedric Yarborough, King Jong, Keegan-Michael Keel, Lisa Kudrow, Ben Schwartz, Alan Arkin, Kristen Chenoweth, Stephen Colbert, Angelica Houston, Nicole Sullivan, Fred Savage, Gary Marshall, Lake Bell, Ed Helms, Liev Schreiber.
Most of those are single episodes. Like,
I kept expecting you to say my name in there. Like, it's everybody else has been in this TV show. Apparently, I was, and I didn't even know it. This is weird.
And then there's like, that's just the people doing characters. That doesn't include the people playing themselves, because it's like a weird faux Hollywood world. So character actress Margot Martindale plays herself in a lot of episodes. She's amazing. Let's see, who else? Naomi Watts voices herself. Wallace Shawn voices herself. And then Henry Winkler voices himself.
Naomi Watts voices herself for that. Do you remember her role in that, right?
Uh-huh. Like, that's who plays Diane as Mr. Peanut Butter's film. Yeah. Paul McCartney voices himself. Daniel Radcliffe voiced himself. Lance Bass voices himself.
You'll never get a more real look at Hollywood, Adam, at Hollywood. And you'll have to watch it to get that. But yeah, it's fantastic. I love that show. But Daredevil is next on my list to get back to. There's just, Netflix is just like, and you want to talk about harsh, they slow down on the programming. I can't keep up right now because it's good stuff. They're releasing a lot of good stuff, and it's just hard.
What's the other one? Will Arnett's like live action version of kind of BoJack Horseman, where he's an alcoholic and a thing. It's pretty dark and weird.
Flake, I started it last night, but because I renewed, or I was going to cancel my service for cable, but keep the internet, they decided to remind me that your internet's not going to work that well, so you should keep your cable. So thank you, Comcast. So I didn't really get, I got through it and it kept freezing, so I finally just turned it off. But that is my intentions, to throw that one out in the background. Yeah.
But yeah, BoJack Horseman is a who's who. Even the theme music was done by Patrick Carney of the Black Keys. Like, it's just famous people left and right. It's fantastic.
Oh, I love the theme music too. It's fantastic. But no, good show. went off on that because I will probably talk about that till the end of existence because I was blown away by how good it was. And it really is like every range of motion you can imagine. Like you're seriously, there's episodes that end where I was laughing so hard, I was almost in tears. And there's episodes you end, Tyler, you bring up the ones where he goes down to New Mexico and it's just like, you just,
yeah. So fucked up.
Like you just sit there staring at a blank screen for like 20 minutes. Like, is this life? Like, wait, is this stuff, but this stuff really happens in the real
That's
world.
That's when you're hoping Netflix will ask you if you want to keep watching because you need to yeah. process.
Right? Like, it was, like, it's rough. So, I'm excited. So
every time I log in, does Netflix, something I didn't even know they were making has come out, like, original. Like, right? they've released a season of a Netflix of Danger Mouse, which is, like, yeah. this, old, right? like, British cartoon that I loved as a kid. And
no, I added it to my list already. I was like, oh, holy hell. I didn't realize Danger Mouse was coming out.
And the best thing about it is all the work they're doing with stand-up comedians to release their specials on Netflix between everyone from Bill Burr to Dimitri Martin, Hannibal Buress, Dimitri Martin, Anthony Jeselnik, Tom Segura, who I love, and then what's his name? One of my favorite guys. John Mulaney's newest one was on Netflix only, so...
You know, something that'll help you know for you to know what's coming up on Netflix next month is at the end of every month, Project Nerd has an article new on Netflix for the month of, and then
I read that article. I just sometimes don't read it until after I've logged into Netflix.
that's true. That's true because it's 90% of it's dumped like on the first of the month. It's like if you are on the 30th or 31st of a month and you haven't watched something that you want to, that's going to be pulled. You just need to marathon that shit. You just need to play on the last day of every month for Netflix marathoning. So. Anyways, I think we were.
Has anyone watched Cuckoo yet? Though I need to know about that one because I can't.
We haven't, and I was trying to get us back
about what's going on.
Because I think originally about 30 minutes ago we started talking about Civil War, and now I'm obsessing over BoJack Horseman and Tyler.
We don't even need to talk about Civil War. Everyone's gonna fucking see it. It's apparently fantastic. Like, I mean, we can hash it out after we've seen it and talk about how awesome it is, but it's not. It's Marvel. Like, we're not worried that they're not going to screw it up. Like, we don't need to talk about it for 6 months about whether or not.
This is the same Tyler who a few weeks ago said we have to give proper amount of time to Civil War. Because
I know, and I want to talk about it a ton, but like, what's there to say? It's going to be awesome. We're all going to go see it.
That's pretty true.
Make all the money.
We could sit here for the next 15 minutes and just talk about the
it's harder to talk about things that are awesome than it is to talk about things that are.
Do we want to try to pin down a dollar amount?
Ooh, that's gonna be rough too.
I mean, I don't know how it doesn't break 200, which is a big goddamn number, but I don't know how it doesn't do it.
That is a really big number. So I mean,
yeah,
200 assumes that people who see it Thursday night or Friday are also probably seeing it Saturday or Sunday. You need a lot of repeat business there.
I did that with Guardians of the Galaxy. I did that with the first Avengers. I did that with Winter Soldier. Like so. I'm not opposed to seeing this Thursday night and Sunday, or Friday night and Sunday, or Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Well, let's put it this way. Three movies ever have had a 200 million plus opening weekend domestically. Star Wars The Force Awakens, which made almost 250, Jurassic World, which made 208, and the original Avengers, which made 207. And Avengers Age of Ultron almost made it at 191.
And both those Avengers were May Marvel Cinematic releases, too. You have to remember.
Well, those were both May. May 1st and May 4th. Jurassic World was June.
June? Oh, that's right. They pulled it up to June before release.
And then Star Wars was obviously December. And then after Age of Ultron... So 247, 208, 207, 191, and then the drop from Age of Ultron to the next one is like $20 million.
I'm going to go against you, Tyler. I'm going to say because of all the screenings they've done, because of the many, they're not just press screenings. There's been other private screenings, all kinds of – this city's just going to have it for a night. I think that's going to keep it just shy. I think it's going to be low 190s.
I'm going to say right now God, that's so much money. I'm going to say 210.
193, Bob.
That was what I was thinking, Tyler. I was thinking 210. I think it, yeah. I don't know. That's hard. That 200, it's such a, like it's the new 100. And 100 wasn't, you know, was 100 for a long time. It took a long time to start really beating down 100. But I think he gets it. I think 210 sounds about right to me. I'd, you know, to be different than Tyler, I'll go with, you know, 210 and $1. Can we do this Price is Right rules?
$1, Bob. $1.
Can I be $210 million, $1?
And yeah. Well, when we said, what did I say? Three movies have ever broken $200 million. If you take those three out, how many movies have broken $100 million? And it's 34.
God, still at this point, that's, you know,
it's still a small.
Still
a small.
100 is still a big number in the movie industry, for sure.
And of all of those, can you guess what, like, the oldest one of them to break 100 million is?
Spider-Man. Titanic? Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was
the opening weekend. One, right?
I know opening weekend, but I just was thinking big numbers.
Spider-Man at 114. The next oldest is obviously Revenge of the Sith. And then the next oldest after that is, or sorry, the next oldest after Spider-Man is Shrek 2. And the next oldest after that is Revenge of the Sith. Then after that, after 2005, you jump way ahead. I guess the next Shrek made it, and then after that, it's almost all comic book movies.
You're just walking up the cinematic universe, yeah. Marvel.
Well, let's see here.
Started printing money. That's all. Okay.
Transformers, Indiana Jones, Hunger Games, Harry Potter, X-Men, Jungle Book, Shrek, Star Wars, Transformers, Toy Story, Pirates of the Caribbean, Spider-Man, Minions, Alice. So, kids' movies, comic book movies, and Harry Potter and Hunger Games. That's pretty much the list. With an Indiana Jones and a Star Wars thrown in for good measure. And two pirates. Oh, fuck. And three fucking Twilight movies.
Anyways. All right. Oh,
and Furious 7.
So we picked our numbers. We'll see.
So what? I went 210, 193, and Adam went...
$210 and a dollar.
$210 million, $1 and 0 cents.
Fuck you.
I don't know. So you guys, we'll go with the over-under. You guys are thinking over 200 million. I'm thinking just under. Aaron would have probably guessed 300 million. So we'll say she went with 300.
Actually, according to like most of her friends, like on Facebook, most of them aren't even going to go see it this week.
That's true. This might make 10 bucks this weekend. Aaron thinks it's not even going to make 100 million. That's what we decided for her. So we can make fun of her next week.
Well, I mean, just according to like a lot of people, and like, and she has a lot of friends, and a lot of her friends have like, don't really just have any interest in seeing it. Like if you look on her Facebook feed, like it's just a lot of people who've said it's not really that good.
Look, there's thousands of people that agree with her.
I'm just saying that there are a lot of people.
Sorry. There's literally thousands of people that agree with
her. I feel like you're discounting. There's a lot of people who just really aren't into the Marvel universe and just really don't enjoy those movies. And I think you're discounting a huge section of the population who just, it's not really their thing.
I'm going to make sure she listens to the last part of this episode, though. So, all right. Final thoughts, Tyler. Why don't you close us out? Start closing us out.
What's going on? I mean, Planet Comic Con is fast approaching, so get excited about that. TV show, like we talked about, a little bit of video games. I can't decide yet, but every trailer makes it look weirder and crazier. The weekend while we're here for Planet Comic Con, AMC is going to premiere Preacher with Dominic Cooper, and I'm kind of getting excited about it. Like I don't really want to be, but it just looks weird and awesome. I've been reading a little bit of new book. I'm reading not it's not a new book. It came out last year, but someone recommended it to me. The Trader Baru Cormorant. And it's actually pretty good by Seth Dickinson. So if anyone wants to check that one out, The Trader Baru Cormorant. And it's pretty fun.
All right, Adam, anything to add?
Always. So it is May. We've made it into May. This is exciting for lots of reasons. Civil War being one of them. I'm excited about that. I'm also excited about Justin Cronin's third book in his trilogy. City of Mirrors is... from the release of this 2.5 weeks away. So if you haven't read The Passage and The 12, they are fairly decently lengthed books. So you need to pick them up today, right now, as soon as you're done listening to this. Actually, you can skip what Iggy's going to say and go ahead and buy The Passage and The 12 and read them I have 2.5 weeks left.
I can't endorse this final thought enough. The Passage actually is a really thick book, but you will get it through it pretty fast. The 12 is, I don't want to say it's a slog because it's still fantastic, but it's a little bit longer read. It's a little bit denser. Yeah. The Passage you will not be able to put down. Mm-mm. And then there's a couple scenes that will force you to put it down because you're fucking angry at that book. You have to walk out of the room. I'm so angry at that scene.
Don't read it next to your loved one. That's... because you'll get angry, you'll shake the bed, and then you'll get in trouble. So,
all right, are you guys? I want to ask first. I'm not going to say anything about it, but before I show any expressions, are you guys watching Game of Thrones this season, or did you decide to not?
I'm watching.
If you decide not,
I have not watched an episode, but it's become clear to me that at the level it has reached, it's impossible to avoid what's actually.
Oh no, yeah, no, there's not. By the time I turned it off, there was so many spoilers on my feed; it was ridiculous. So.
I mean, obviously I've watched everything up to this. I've read all the books I had, and like, they've even spoiled stuff before the season even started, but I've realized between work, my friends, and just not even like Facebook or anything, just like normal news sites, like fucking Google News, I can't avoid the way the plot's going. Like, it's become too much of a, it's been a zeitgeist for a while, but it's become too much of a cultural touch. It's become too ubiquitous. It's become too much of a cultural touchstone for you to avoid what actually happened the week before.
So watch it.
Fucking every website on the planet's got to.
So watch it, and you'll lose your anger because, to be honest, the first two episodes have been really good. They have been really good. I don't want to say that. Like, I don't want to say the last two seasons have been bad, but leading up to the end of the last season, they weren't. You know, they didn't have what maybe some of the earlier seasons had, if that makes sense. These two episodes are definitely right now setting a tone for a season that's going to be one of the strongest. And maybe it's because they feel, I don't know, maybe the writers feel they have more freedom, and maybe they're just throwing up middle fingers to all the people who read the books and are avoiding watching it. But it's definitely interesting, definitely exciting. The other thing I want to mention is Adam did bring up May. So much going on. So we talked about new movies coming out. It's time, you know, the video game publishers are starting to push stuff back out after they usually go quiet for a few months in early spring. Books, as we talked about, everything from Star Wars to what Adam and Tyler were promoting here. But other big thing is May is huge, like the biggest month for conventions. Like I get San Diego falls in July and that's the, you know, and New York's in the fall, but I don't know, like there is like a good 8 or so shows just in May that are considerable shows that are nationally known, as well as you do have what we talked about, Free Comic Book Day and many other things. So definitely check out what's going on near you. A lot of exciting things to get at, even if we're not at the convention near you. Can't recommend enough going to these. I've been going since I was 10 years old. I love hitting up comic conventions. They're such a blast. And even as they become more pop culture, cosplay focused, other things, there's so many of them that still keep a really good area full of comics and great local, small, independent creators, or even traveling independent creators that you can support and find so much content that you didn't realize is out there. Again, Free Comic Book Day. Go get your free comics from the major publishers. Take that money you save and support your indie local creators. And I'm not just saying that because you can support us over at pnpublishing.com for Project Nerd Publishing, but I'm also saying that because the best stuff I read in comics these days definitely comes from those who are doing it from the heart, independently crafting their own baby, you know. So check it all out. Find us at Free Comic Book Day, Hall of Justice, Cheyenne Comic Con up in Wyoming the weekend after that, and then of course the big one, Planet Comic Con, where we'll be premiering Project Nerd Publishing for the first time in a convention scene with a number of the talented creators we have on there. They'll also be present. So excited. That's it for episode 120. We'll be back 121. If I say it enough now, I'll remember it next time. No, I won't. But anyways, so for Adam, Tyler, Iggy, signing out. Catch you. Same nerd time, same nerd channel. See you next week.